Okay, we'll do that in a minute. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see you, and it's great to see me too. So, there's an amazing thing going on. It's in the notice sheet at the back, on the bottom, and it's Dartford and Greenwich branch of the Good News for Everyone, previously the Gideons. If you'd like to go along to that, it is a good meeting. Mr. Matt Baker will be speaking. We all know Matt Baker and others, and I'm afraid we won't be here. It's the organisation that Susan volunteers for. They do an amazing job giving out Bibles all over the place, and they're really good quality stuff. So do support that organisation, and if you'd like to go, I've got a little card here. Susan's got some invitation cards. And it's at Sidcup Main Road Baptist on the 5th of July at 3 p.m.
Can I just add that it's on there twice, isn't it? At the bottom, it's correct, Saturday the 5th of July. Halfway up, it says Saturday the 17th, and that's not right. So I don't want to confuse you. Just go by the bit that says invitation at the bottom. Thank you.
And talking about the 17th of this month, it's the most important day in my calendar because it's my wife's birthday. And so wish Susan a happy birthday and pray for her this week. Living with me, she needs lots of prayer. by the way, this gift has got the cross on it, which is the most important thing in the world, of course, not that particular cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus, so that reminds us of that. There's a verse there, I hope that's relevant to you. The verse chose you, you didn't choose the verse. So I thought it'd be good. By the way, it's not a gift from me, it was Alan's idea, and the church has paid for it. Just so I happened to order it from Amazon. So, okay, so I think we should read ours out, don't you, men? Because I think that's really important. You can pass this round. Mine says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So nothing's going to hold me back. Okay. Mine.
With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Be joyful in hope, patient in afflictions, faithful in prayer.
For he shall give angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And that's from Psalm 91, 11.
You make me get do it now after you, yeah? Yeah. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26.
For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37.
For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37.
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 verse 9.
Mine is based on Psalm 91 verse 11, and it says, for he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Amen.
With God,
For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37.
This is a repeat, this one. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11.
It's a very popular one, this. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11.
Well, I think God's trying to tell us something. What's that about angels? He's going to give them charge over you. And that's not just for the guys, that's for everybody. But if you particularly want it, you've got to go near Bailey, Bruce and David. So there'll be angels all around them. So that's great. I hope you find that useful. Carry it with you. It's always good to have the Word of God with you, reminding you. And it's probably because you look at it every day. You'll never forget the verse you've been given today. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we're going to pray for some people in a minute as they're going to come up and speak. Welcome to Sharon today. She's come right across the Atlantic to see us. It's rather a long way, but she didn't mind. Give her a round of applause. It's lovely to see you back, Sharon. Let me see. I've done the birthday wishes. By the way, it's Father's Day today. Did you know that? Okay, something that was done in a church the other day, I was at, they prayed for a few things that were on their list. I think that's a good idea, don't you? You can look at the list, you can pray for it any time you like. I'm going to pray for a few of these now, if you don't mind. Dave Broughton hasn't made it here today, thank God he made it to something the other day. What did he come to the other day? Oh, he came to Hyde Hall, which is really great to see him there, so he's able to come. So he's doing things as he can. Give him a ring, encourage him. If you're sitting at home, not too sick to come, it's good to be encouraged, isn't it? And it's good. We should be doing that because we're family. And of course, Kath Chivers, she used to come to this church many years ago. She's lost her son recently. And so let's pray for her. And Leanne carries on her work in the borough. So let's pray for her too. Father, we thank you. We can lift up these people. We do lift our dear friend Kath. Some of us remember her. Some of us don't. That doesn't matter. You know her. And we pray that you'll comfort and keep her at this time of sorrow and her family. We pray in Jesus' name. And her boy's children and wife. And Lord, we're so touched the fact that he's lost his life. And I would pray for McQuinn too. We thank you he's with us, but he's experienced some problems recently with health, and we pray that you'll completely heal him, that he may be made whole in you, Lord Jesus. And we pray for Leanne with her work in the borough going on week by week, and we pray that she'll have the energy, the strength, your Holy Spirit helping her and her team as she works amongst those needy people. And we pray your blessing upon them. And we pray for Dave as well. We're sorry that he's not here with us and he's experienced these heart problems and struggles recently, many hospital appointments. We pray that you'll be with him. Bless him and his family. We thank you that he's got a big family that care for him. We pray that we know also that you care for him. And we pray your blessing upon him today. We thank you that Sharon's among us today, and we pray for a blessing on her husband looking after things back home. And we also pray for a blessing on her family as she visits them over here. We thank you so much for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Anybody else need to say anything that I haven't mentioned? No. It was a men's breakfast yesterday. It went really well. If you didn't make it, do come next time and invite a few people. We enjoyed it, the one for Sukkot, it went, didn't we? It's a great breakfast. It was a really good speaker. And we're going to have three really good speakers today. And so with no more ado, we've got Bruce and we've got Rad and we've got McQuinn. So we're going to do Bruce first and then Rad, is that all right? Number two. And they've got 10 minutes and we'll all give them a big clap after 10 minutes so they get off. No, seriously, we'll give them a little bit more, but I'll give them a 10, you know, and then at 12 we'll give them a big clap. All right, and do it really loud so they've got to stop. But we will stop in between just to think, because I said to one of them this morning, if we're not careful, we rush on, don't we? And we do that with a sermon, you know, we rush on and we go, oh, what did Bruce say? I don't know. What Rab was saying was really good, but I've forgotten what Bruce said. So let's stop after each one. Have a little think about it. Maybe we'll have a question. So, what does that mean for me? Because that's the important thing. When I go to a collective worship with the kids at school, they're supposed to think. It's a time of reflection. Yeah. So I say to the kids, stop. Look at me bald. Look at the story. What does that mean for you? What are you going to do about it? It's no good just listening to the word of God. Isn't it? That's nice. Weren't Bruce good this morning? Yeah? Or Rad or McQuinn? Weren't they good? You walk out not changed. Well, it's a nice time, but a bit of a waste of time, yeah? So let's pray for them. So, guys, do you want to come out? And you realise it's all men running this service today, don't you? So that's why it's so much better than it was normally. No, not really. Not really. And let's pray for them and think of something, because a few of the people, they haven't done so much preaching as others. So think of something you can encourage them with. If they get 20-odd encouragements this morning, that'd be great, wouldn't it? They might do it again. Okay, so think of something really good you can say to all of them afterwards. How did that go? Well, God said this. All right, guys, I'll pray. Father, thank you so much for Bruce and McQuinn and Rad. Thank you they've studied your word. And Lord, we pray that you'll fill them with your spirit now as they come out and speak. We pray you help them to get out what you want to say. We love them as people, but Lord, we'd love to listen to them. But we thank you that you can speak through them. And we thank you that you promise that when your word's spoken about, you speak. So we thank you so much. And so speak to us today, we pray. And we just humbly come before you and say, Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need your help. So please help us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, you got to take a seat. And Bruce, it's the floor's all yours. Thank you.
Okay, I should be a bit less than 10 minutes. Here we go. So, contrary to what Steve just said, my name's Adam. I've got a question. Do you like being first? It feels good, doesn't it? First in a race? First to climb Mount Everest? First on the moon? But none of those is quite as first as me. Because I was the first man ever. I was the first horticulturalist with an amazing garden to look after, and the first zoologist, so I could name all the animals and birds in the garden. And I was the first human father of the human race. Where did I come from? Well, this is how Genesis puts it. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now people think that garden was somewhere between the Tigris and the Euphrates in present-day Iraq. It was the most beautiful place you can imagine. So I had everything anyone could want. except a wife. So God sorted that out too. By the way, do you know why God created Adam first? He didn't want any advice on what to do. So this is how the Bible tells it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So now I, or we, had everything, and we had freedom of choice. There was only one thing we were forbidden to do. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And what did we do? Yep, you guessed it. We fell for temptation and committed the first sin. It all started with Satan in the form of a serpent. Or perhaps it started before that, with Eve seeing the forbidden fruit and thinking, I like the look of that. What a shame I'm not allowed to eat it. This is how Genesis recounts what happened. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. When God came looking for us, we were ashamed and hid, but of course he found us. When he asked what we'd done, well, I blamed it on Eve. She blamed it on the serpent. But the point is, we wanted to become like God. We got above ourselves and disobeyed him. We committed the first sin, which means being separated from God. And we were also separated from the wonderful garden. God kicked us out. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. From now on, we had to work by the sweat of our brows as farmers to get enough to eat. And that was only the start of our problems. We had children. Cain was the oldest. He made a sacrifice to God, but God favored the one made by his younger brother, Abel. Perhaps it was because of Cain's attitude when he made the sacrifice. Maybe he wasn't a joyful giver. Whatever the reason, Cain was furious, jealous, so jealous that he killed his brother. That's another first. I became father of the first murderer. I guess I hadn't set him a very good example as a father after committing that first sin. Now, of course, everyone's heard about Cain and Abel, but God blessed us with a replacement to Abel. His name was Seth. He was born when I was aged 130. I then fathered lots of other boys and girls and reportedly lived to 930. Quite a long time to contemplate that first sin. But the important thing is, our son Seth had a line of descendants that led all the way to Jesus. We know that sin, separation from God, leads to death. Eve and I were the first people to sin, and it's had an impact on everyone ever since. In Romans we read, Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How do we get free from this? Fortunately for us, we have a free gift. In Romans it said, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came from the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It's difficult for us to comprehend the extraordinary sacrifice Jesus made. The only Son of God, a man without sin, sacrificed for our sins. So in a way, my story, Adam's story, goes full circle. In Corinthians it says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that story of the world's first father provokes a question, which I'd like you to think about. One of Adam's many problems is he didn't have a human father to set him an example. And a child growing up without a father, or someone who provides a father figure, lacks a male role model to teach them right from wrong. So my question is, what's the main thing you've learned from your father? Have a think.
Okay. What's the main thing you've learnt from your father? You might say, well, I didn't know my father. That's all right. There must be someone who's the role model who sort of took that place. Perhaps you can think about them, an uncle or a friend of a friend. But, what's the main thing you learnt from your father? And it might be a bad thing. And I'll talk about a bad father in just a second. Talk to the person near you and talk about what you learnt from your father for a couple of moments. Is that all right? Or from the person that you learnt something from. Go. Might have had a bad father, he might have had a great father. My name is Phineas. My father was a faithful priest, but he did not correct my brother and me for our wrongdoings, so we were disobedient to God and to him. Do you know the name of our dad? Eli, that's it, Eli. So he wasn't such a great dad. He was good in some ways, wasn't he? But he wasn't so good with his boys. Okay. Rad. Here we are, we're looking forward to this. And Rad's doing another father. He's doing another father. But I won't give it away. And by the way, they're up there on the board. You can see them today. So you can look at these people, have a look, see how they fit in. So all the people being spoken of today, you can have a look up there. Rad, you've got your 10.
Morning. So the person I'll be talking about is Noam. And I'll be probably jumping a little bit back and forth. Looks better. Thank you. So first thing is to realize who Noah was, and he was the man of faith who always walked with God. He was obedient to him and put him at the first place in his life, and That was very, very important in the times which were around him at that point, because as the Bible says, the earth became really wicked, and God was so fed up with everybody that he wanted to wipe them off, including all the other creatures, which I don't think is exactly fair, but you know, when you need to do clean cut, probably start all over from scratch. So there was Noah's faith, and obviously his love for God, what made him chosen to actually save not only humanity but all the other creatures which were on the earth. And that was it. So if we, look into the verse, it says, Lord saw how great wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all the time. Lord regretted that he made human being on the earth, and his earth and his heart was deeply troubled. So Lord says, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, birds, and creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So if we look down the verses, as a brief description of Noah and his family, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blessed among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth has become, for all the people on the earth corrupted their ways. So God says to Noah, I am going to put the end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make a room in, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are build it. The ark has to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put the door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood water on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life. Now, don't know about you, but I'm not familiar with the cubits, so I try to find out how big the ark was. And in modern day measurements, it was, just a second, about 155 meter long, 25 or nearly 26 meters wide, and 15 and a half meters tall, which seems like a pretty big ship. And I don't need to say, if I would be building up something like that on my own, or maybe with just the help of my family, it seems like an impossible task. So I believe that it was really very difficult for Noah, not only physically to build the ark, but at that time, where everybody around him was laughing at him and making fun out of him, why he's building such an ark without any reason, I think there was massive mental struggle, and his faith was put to really, really high test. And I think that's something what we're going through on occasions where we might have a bad day, but at the same time we might have something much worse happening in our life. It might be some disease or accident. It might be some family issues, something at work, something really big would strike us, and it seems like an impossible task and difficult to get through. And it's really our faith and love of God and the prayers what take us through it. I remember one of my mentors was always saying, if you're going through hell, never stop, because that's where you will end up. So, yeah, if the times are tough, keep on going and, you know, focus on God and believe that He's got a way for you. And sometimes the situation which seems to be impossible lead us to something much, much better what we never thought about or what was impossible to see before that. So focus like a Noah and build with belief and love in your heart, and the reward will come to you. Now, another interesting thing is that the life expectations were slightly different back then, because Noah became father when he was about 500 years old. And it took him rough estimates are 50 to 75 years to build up the ark, which for a lot of people in these days is whole life. So being able to do that and then live for another roughly 300-400 years, then yeah, there was something amazing. So I think we need to rush up a little bit to do everything in a much, much shorter space of time. Just as a comparison of the ark, I mean, as long as it seems to be pretty huge, I would say it was rather small ship compared to today's, let's say, transport ships, or really the biggest vessels. Because I was interested, like how big it was in comparison to something, because I've really never been on any massive ship, and. If you think about it, the ark should be about 150 meters long. So the longest ship currently in the world is 458. So we're talking about three times longer than the ark was. So it's pretty impressive where we went over the years, what we achieved. But again, considering that Noah was building the ark more or less on its own, that's still incredible achievement. And I would say, yeah, that's something really to focus on and see that no matter how big the task is or how at that point nonsensical it might look, trust in God and go through your call or what God said in you and endure. So, yeah, my question for you would be, are you always looking in the task or you know in the call of God with the opportunity, or you're thinking like, is something impossible and don't even know how to deal with it? Are you trusting Him wholeheartedly and you know you will follow and then something better is waiting for you? Are you focusing on that promise, or you get overwhelmed with the situation you're currently in? So I would say that's my topic for discussion. How do you deal with the difficult situations in your life, and what did they brought you? What was on the other side? Thank you.
Well, what can I say? McQuinn, you've got a lot to follow. I hope you're good, brother. No, that's great. Okay, the question. To me, that question was, do you look at the task and go, man, I can't do that? Or do we look at the God and go, no, I can do that because of God? Yeah? If you're surrounded by angels, you might be able to do it. Yeah? But it's tough, isn't it? I think the thing that stood out to me was, if you don't go through hell, don't stop, or you'll end up there. That's good, I like it. So, okay, just think about problems. You might want to talk about a particular problem, or you might want to say, okay, no, I want to think about problems generally. How do we do that? You know, it's a bit of a half glass full, half glass empty person, isn't it? Which one do we look at? Who are you? You know, how do we concentrate on God and not the task? You know, there's lots of things to think about. Okay, I'll let you take that for a couple of moments. Have a think about that. That's important, isn't it? Good, you know, good things to think about. Let's do that. Okay. It's interesting, isn't it? Talking about stuff. Once you start talking and someone gives you an idea, a thought, it's worth thinking about. So don't lose it. Don't look at the situation. Look to God. How long did Methuselah live? Long time. He was the longest mentioned man in the Bible. Might have been other people. 900. Anybody else know? I think it's 969. All the nines. My father, my name is Methuselah, and my father was a devout man who walked with God. In the end, he was translated to heaven. Do you know the name of my righteous dad? You can have Noah, Jacob, Moses, or Enoch. Enoch? Vote for Enoch? You're absolutely correct. Well done. What Bible scholars? Bible scholars. So the oldest man was Enoch. Sorry, oldest man was Methuselah, and his dad was Enoch. Okay. McQuinn, you've got 10 minutes, brother.
Okay.
And they're getting bored now. They're going to fall asleep in yours.
I hope I will be time efficient.
I am speaking about Joseph, the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can it be any better than that? To be coddled like that? It sometimes reminds me, when I see pictures like that, it reminds me of my dad. Thank God, he did teach me that we have a Heavenly Father. Now, Joseph's role in the Bible is subtle, but deeply significant. We don't hear much about him after a couple of the passages I'm going to share with you now. These six passages, are where we mostly heard about Joseph. The first one being Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, where Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Possibly today, that can happen. But when I was growing up, to be seen with a pregnant lady, just to be seen, not to say that you are accepting her or you are going to wed her. It's like an abomination. And I find it difficult to understand how that happened. I'm sure it is just that grace of God. And we are told here, in this particular passage, that Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, he was told that Joseph, the son of David, don't be scared to take Mary as your wife. Take her home. Would you accept that if you were the one? Would I have accepted that if I were Joseph? I have so many stories, but because of time. Now, I will tell you, when we were getting married, we had to go for a test. And that is generally what used to happen then. You can't have a girl pregnant and go to the church to wait. But look at what happened here. God spoke to Joseph. Take her, for the child she bears is the Holy One. And we go on to Matthew 2:13-15. Now, after Jesus was born, there was a threat to the little child. And you can only imagine. Maybe if it were me, I would say, after all, I'm not the father of the child. I will just run if my life is in danger. But look at the care. Look at the love Joseph had for this son. He fled. So from here, I can see that immigration did not just start today. It has been there. And maybe I am here because of my children as well. But I'm not sure if I did actually hear from God, just like Joseph did. But I do believe it is the grace of God that has brought me here. Then Matthew 2:19-23, return to Nazareth. Now, after Herod's death, Joseph is told in another dream to return to Israel. He settles the family in Nazareth, avoiding Judea due to the fear of Herod's son. This fulfills the prophecy that Jesus will be called the Nazarene. Brought him back. We then go to the journey to Bethlehem. Joseph travels with Mary to Bethlehem for a census. He is described as being of the house of and the lineage of David.
This sets the stage for Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, fulfilling the message we have in Micah 5, verse 2. Now, in Luke chapter 2, 22 to 39, presentation at the temple. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. This shows the adherence to the Jewish laws and tradition. And also, that must have been fulfilling a prophecy that they are going to introduce him to godly ways. And that is what Joseph did. Obedience. And we see also in Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52, which happens to be the last passage where Joseph happens to be mentioned. At the age of 12, they went to the temple, but Jesus stayed behind. And we are told in that passage that at a point they searched for him anxiously. And to show the fatherhood of Joseph, we are told that Mary says, "Your father and I have been searching for you, have been anxiously searching for you." This highlights Joseph's parental role and concern and love. Joseph holds a unique and revered place, especially as a foster father of Jesus. His role is interpreted in various ways, some of which are, even before that, let's have a song that wraps up this fatherly love from Joseph.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take your wife Mary into your sins he will save. It was foretold by Isaiah, the virgin shall bear a son. Up to her, and they met eye to eye. He told her of the dream, and she had no taking her hand, they walked in silence out of Nazareth, soon to Bethlehem. Abba, God our Father, help us to raise
in the Bible, as highlighted out there, Joseph is seen as a model of fatherhood, chastity, humility, and obedience. He is the betrothed. Emphasis placed on his role in protecting Mary and Jesus. He is often depicted as an older man, symbolizing wisdom and purity. He is also a righteous man and faithful servant of God. His example is often used in sermons and teachings about obedience, integrity, and trust in God. Questions. If you were Joseph, would you have done what you are told? Would you have loved the child or baby Jesus? Would you have risked your own life traveling? In fact, the first thing is, even when Mary was pregnant, he had to be visiting. It wasn't like now when we have cars, we have telephones, and so on. Maybe barefooted, had to walk in the desert to go and see Mary, which is a big sacrifice as well. Very important. It is very significant in the bringing up of Jesus Christ. And it is all because of the grace of God. We also see that Joseph never spoke in the Bible. We didn't hear him say anything. But his actions speak volumes. He obeys divine instructions without hesitation. His quiet strength and decisive actions are seen as virtues in contemplative ministry and tradition. His initial decision to divorce Mary quietly shows a balance of law and compassion. Do we have that compassion for our brothers and our sisters? Are we forgiven? Are we even tolerant?
his role is essential, very essential, in safeguarding the mystery of the incarnation, the coming of our Lord Jesus and Savior. He played a very important role. Otherwise, maybe you wouldn't have been here today. You wouldn't have been forgiven. There is another song that we will finish up with. And this song actually assumes that Joseph was alive during the crucifixion. Let's have a listen.
Expected by your neighbors to put her away, found with child before the day was a terrible disgrace. Were you feeling confused, maybe betrayed, crying to the Lord? But the real you came shining through as you followed God's word. A man of faith, a man of honor, going the extra mile. From Galilee to Bethlehem is no small sacrifice. Through doubts and fears, did you know just what you were fighting for? You were the man by the woman that gave birth to our Lord. A man of flesh and blood, trying to raise a son with the mystery of his birth and all the things to come. Did you feel like giving up when you didn't understand? But your heart of integrity kept you on the task at hand. A man of faith, a man of honor, going the extra mile. And a mile in the desert is no small sacrifice. Through doubts and fears, did you know just what you were fighting for? You were the man by the woman that gave birth to our Lord. Did your heart burst and cry when he was condemned to die, as you watched your little boy become the Savior of the world? A man of faith, a man of honor, going the extra mile. From Bethlehem to Calvary is no small sacrifice. Through doubts and fears, did you know just what you were fighting for? You were the man by the woman that gave birth to our Lord. And you stood by the woman that gave birth to our
this ministers to you about forgiveness, love, and care for one another, not only to the children, but to your brothers and sisters. Remain blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you, McQuinn. Well, I'll leave you with that. That's the question. Would you have done it? But it was worth it, wasn't it? Maybe things that we do for the Lord will last for eternity. I believe they will. Let's thank these guys once again for doing such a great job. Give them a round of applause. Do give them some encouragement. They might want to do it again if you do that. Because otherwise you get in your own mind after you've done a sermon. Oh, I could have said that. Oh, I forgot to say that. You know, it's easy, isn't it? Let's encourage each other in the Lord and continue to encourage each other. We're going to have some tea in a minute. Do stay for that. And happy Father's Day, everybody. Even if you're a mother or a lady, happy Father's Day. Enjoy it. And I hope you enjoy those things that we're getting. There's a few left over, I think. And come and ask me if you've got someone to give one to. Come and ask me. We don't want any left, but I'm sure you can think of someone to give it to and bless them with that. So, okay, let's just pray together. Father, thank you so much for being with us. That's the most important thing, that you were here. We were all here, but we thank you that you're always here. And we thank you when we leave here, you don't leave us, because you continue to be with us. Because just like a good father, you look over your children. And you're not a poor father who doesn't care. And you're not a father without resources who can't help us. We thank you that you own everything, and everything that we own is already yours. And so we bless you for all that you've done for us, and we pray that you'll continue and go with us. And we pray that every one of us will be fathers to those we meet outside, whether our neighbours, our friends, people in the shops, even our enemies. We might be fathers to these people, showing them the way that you walked and giving them that example. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And you might see the stuff that Shaq has done at the back there, and enjoy. Have a lovely day.